a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is your Thursday. Walking in, of course, to a weekend almost here of some exciting stuff. Of course, if you're here local and you're excited about this Utah-USC matchup, you're not alone. What I love about this is how few people actually are giving Utah a chance, which is what Kyle Whittingham really wants. Now, I don't know if USC actually or if Utah actually believes that they are such an underdog in this thing. I think Vegas is a little bit closer on that line, and everybody's looking at that thing. But the college football news of the day isn't about the short term here this weekend. It's, of course, about the long term and the health of the college football playoff and an expansion. And the Rose Bowl finally got her way. And her way is she wanted to have the last word. That's the thing. The Rose Bowl said, I want to actually be able to say the last thing. I want the final say on this thing. And they got it. They approved the whole deal down, at least for the next 2 years, for this thing to get started in 24 and 25. That's where we're going to start things off on the program right here. It is The Cut right here at the top of the show, as always.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The Cut and our program is always brought to you by G2G Bars. G2G Bars, additive-free, preservative-free, a protein bar that tastes amazing. And it's a local company. Support these guys. Let's go. This is a big deal. We want you guys to be able to support them like they've supported the show. And, man, we're supporting them by buying those G2G Bars. We're taking them out to every event we have. They are in the refrigerated section of Associated Foods, Costco, Holiday Oil, and Maverick, all because there's no preservatives, no additives. Like I said, they taste amazing. Give it a shot. G2GBar.com as well. All right. You might notice that my partner in crime, Scott Mitchell, not on the program here with us now, as he's now on the road. He took the heat of many other folks. I think a lot of the people that are leaving our station are doing they didn't just take Kevin Eubanks' word for it with Hans and Scotty today, which was get out of Dodge, bro. But last night, when you started to see all this go down, you started to see our sports department have to go, I think our plans are changing just a little bit. Might have to add another night to this one. And that's what you're going to get is a bunch of people making that exodus down tonight. And that's the recommendation. Weather-wise, if you are planning on going tomorrow, it is not going to work out. So figure out how to leave today because that giant storm coming from the northwest. See, as I put my meteorologist hat on, you got this high-pressure system coming out of the northwest. It's going to bring in some snow showers all across that I-15 corridor there. And the nasty spots are always like Scipio down to Beaver. Scipio down to Cedar City, not good. If you've ever been in a snowstorm along that stretch, that will be you tomorrow, and it will not be you at the Pac-12 championship game tomorrow night. So recommended to leave as early as you can this evening. Drive freaking safe. But Scott's on that trip along with some of our other TV colleagues as well. I want to start off by giving a massive shout out to the folks at the College Football Playoff Expansion Committee, all the people who had to deal with this thing, all the folks who were part of this thing, everybody who had anything to say to get this thing pushed forward. I still think that they could have probably figured some piecemealed version of this for next year just so we could get it going. Nobody wants to see this thing delayed any longer, but it's going to be happening in the 2024 season. And that's an exciting thing. 12 teams means you're going to have something that we haven't seen before. And I'm just going to say it right now. With the expansion of all this, with NIL money paving the way for us thinking totally differently about how college athletes should be compensated, treated, etc. With a 12-team field, you have the six highest-rated league champions, okay, including the Group of Five champion. Highest-rated Group of Five champion, right? Isn't that how they're going to? How do they do it?
It is the six highest rated champs, regardless of conference. There could be two. So what if the Pac-12 sucks? ACC?
Yeah. Okay.
It's just the top six rated.
Okay, but where does the G5 sneak into that though?
Well, they're in there because there's five.
But which one it's not going to be like the, you're not going to see the Sun Belt champions not going to get in.
They could.
Okay. Well, maybe.
Any conference champion.
The whole idea is everybody's going to be able to have a shot now.
Correct.
12 team field, six highest rated league champions. Top four league champs getting those byes. That's, you know, basically what you see already with the way the semifinal is set up. But they would essentially be in a quarterfinal already with that bye, waiting for the winners of that first round. And so now you're seeing something that is amazing. TV will be going nuts. When these guys redo these deals, when these bowls actually mean something, now these top bowls have always meant something. But now these games walking into this thing are going to mean so much more. Everybody has a shot to win a national championship. Asterisk, because your team sucks. Okay? You might be listening. Now, the reality is that to be able to look at this and say right now what this would look like is Utah would be in. Now, the conference championship is still going on. So that this is bearing out, if it was just going off of the rankings right now in the college football playoff rankings, Utah would be playing in Tuscaloosa, week number one of the college football playoff. That is amazing. Kansas State and Tennessee, that doesn't sound like an exciting one, but that's Kansas State going to Rocky Top. When's the last time that happened? Doesn't happen very often. This is what you're aiming for already. Something different, something amazing. Clemson would be visiting Happy Valley up at Penn State. You don't see that very often either. That's an amazing bowl matchup already, and that's only the quarterfinals of a 12-team playoff. Ohio State and Tulane. The Green Wave are a perfect example of where insert your team who usually doesn't have a chance here kind of a name. That's what you're getting with this. Tulane is that Cinderella story. Because the winner of that game between Ohio State and Tulane, which I know we all kind of have a smirk on our face, but you know what? This is an Ohio State team that hasn't been the greatest Ohio State team that we've seen in a while, right? I mean, they have one loss. They're so bad, right? But why not Tulane go into the horseshoe and throw an upset up there if Ohio State doesn't take them serious? The winner of that game would take on USC in the Rose Bowl the next week as part of that. And the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl and the Orange Bowl and the Cotton Bowl featuring your 1, 2, 3, and 4th-ranked teams that are in that bye would be the they'd be the quarterfinals, because then you'd play those four games to get yourselves to that semifinal and then get yourself into a national championship matchup between whoever that's going to be. That's how amazing this is. And so if you are Utah would be in this thing last year, I think we determined it would just have been just on the outside, right? Just on the outside looking in. But this year, In this week of rankings, they would be in. They'd be in this version. That's why this is amazing. And here's what I really think about all of this, though, because I want to take it to another level here, which is this. Playing all these games, playing all this setup, the way that it is, 12 teams, is a massive improvement. I would have never imagined as a kid that, one, we would have gotten to this point where we're actually playing for a legitimate title instead of just having some writers in a stuffy room name who their champion is, and then another group of writers across the country in a different room are giving their champion. Now we're getting down to, and then throw the computers out the window, right, if you're from the old BCS days, and then throw out just the idea of, a bunch of old guys and gals getting together in one room at the Gaylord Hotel in Grapevine, Texas every week and going, these shall be the people who are going to participate, these four. Now it's 12. And so you know what has to happen now? The College Football Playoff Committee has to make it a priority to start sharing revenue from the TV with the freaking players who make it to the playoff. The coaches all get bonuses when they go to this. And if you think they're not getting worked in, Kyle Whittingham, we've talked a lot about those bonuses, right, that have been coming to him. And it's not to say he didn't deserve them. It's part of the landscape of what you get now if you have a big contract. So Tennessee, Kansas State, if they're in that first round of the College Football Playoff, if you're Michigan and you're Jim Harbaugh, you win and you win the Big 12 or the Big 10 championship this weekend, they probably has a bonus for beating Ohio State. Tell me that that's not in the work in the contract. I guarantee there's something like that. But all this needs to happen. All of these things need to get reworked. Yes, these coaches are going to get bonuses for going to, if you make the College Football Playoff, the top 12, hey, you're going to get $100,000 bonus. And if you're a player, you get 20 grand. And if you go to the next round, you get another 20 grand. And if you go to the next round, which is the semifinal of the new version of this 12-team playoff, you get 50. And if you go to the national championship game, you get another 50. And if you win the thing, you get 100. You know what that is? $280,000 for a guy who's on a roster who you put on TV for 4 weeks straight and reworked your new deal with. I think it's necessary. I think it's fantastic if they do it. They have to. They got to do it. Start sharing the money with the players. We're already down that road, and it's something amazing too. When you say, if you're at Utah and you go, we're going to Alabama week one of the College Football Playoff in Tuscaloosa, and just by doing that, you get $20,000. We earned our way in. Everybody on this roster gets $20,000. You're welcome. But that, what an incentive that would be. Start paying these guys TV revenue for what is inevitably going to come to all these schools. More money because of the TV deal they're going to work. Their coaches are getting paid it. Pay the players too. And that's not, listen, that's not even, that is me. I was a crazy person. If you would have gone back into the past, the little time machine, that would absolutely, I would have never thought this way. I've totally changed my tune on this. These players are the product, and they need to be treated like that. And you need to make sure that you pay these guys because we're consuming that product.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Not just NIL money. Get them on that. Get those roster bonuses for guys in these teams. Let's jump out to the zone phone, which is actually the Zoom zone phone. Matt Biamonte joining us on the program. He's one of many people who are going to join us today. And Matt, of course, is one of our college football insiders for KSLSports.com, covers BYU extensively. Matt, you just heard my diatribe about you, how you got to pay these players now that we've expanded this thing. Everybody has to start thinking about it. It's more football. It's better football. It's what we've always dreamed of. Now do the right thing and pay these kids.
Yeah, I did hear that, and I'm all on board with that. If there's going to be billions of dollars at stake, there's no reason they can't get a piece of the pie. And I think what I'm really excited about with an expanded playoff, besides just more access for teams, I think the trickle down for that, Alex, is going to be, I think recruiting is going to even out a little bit, because for the past five or so years, yeah, there's been five power conferences that really have access to the College Football Playoff. But within that group of five power conferences, there were really only seven or eight teams that really had a realistic chance of winning a national championship. And I thought you saw a separation in recruiting with Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, because when they would go to kids' houses and say, we can play for national championships, there were only a few schools that could actually sell that.
Right.
And if you wanted to play at the highest level to showcase yourself to get to the league, you had to go to one of those schools. And so now that there's 12 teams that can get in, the race for those 12 is going to be 20 to 30 teams at this point in the season. Maybe not quite this point, but in early November, there's going to be 25 teams that still have a realistic chance to get in. And I think that's going to open up recruiting for a lot of these schools that can now actually sell to kids, you can play on the biggest stage with us. It doesn't have to be Georgia. It doesn't have to be Ohio State. You can come to Utah. You can come to, in Oregon, in a Washington, and realistically play on the biggest stage in college football. That's one part of it that really excites me.
You know, the thing that happens, too, with this, Matt, is we get excited about it because it's just better football games. If they can figure out a way to – even if these – if you're Penn State and you're hosting – if you're hosting a first week of these 12 games, right, if you're that it'd be 12 through 7 – or I guess 12 through 6 would be the seeding numbers – and you're not getting that bye, so you're hosting one of these games. If you're 5, 6, 7, and 8, you're hosting one of these first week ones. Then whatever that bowl sponsorship was going to be for that garbage bowl that we aren't going to care about, I'm going to take this even further. Make that bowl game at Happy Valley. That bowl game is now suddenly the fill-in-the-blank bowl that didn't make a difference now. And if you're that bowl sponsor, you love it because you have that 8-9 matchup that's what you're buying is an 8-9 matchup. It's going to be at a different location every year. You're not going to know what it is. But put that sponsorship on there. You need to start throwing out. You need to start having an intellectual conversation with the bowl handlers across the country and say, hey, listen, we're not going to have this just because it's a bowl game. Now, I'll tell you how else I'm not saying throw away all the bowl games altogether, Matt. What I'm saying now is you're going to pare down these numbers to mean something a lot more for these bowl games, which is what they used to be. They used to mean something, right? And so now let's get the bowl games meaning even more. And I would say here's how far I'm going to go on it too, because I'm obsessed with just give me all the football I can handle during the holiday season. I don't care, but make it worth something. Because the Poulan Weed Eater Bowl or the Chick-fil-A Bowl, not the good one, not the citrus bowl brought to you by Cheez-It, not that one, the actual just Cheez-It Bowl, throw that one out. I know they want to throw sponsorship dollars at it, but here's what we do now. We do it in college basketball, and if we're going to follow the model of, hey, add more teams, let's have a real tournament, let's have the next best champion, right? An NIT version. You could be the college football bowl champion. Right? And that's not your college football national championship. There's money still on this thing. It's basically the NIT of a college football world. Am I going too far?
Maybe a little bit.
We're playing the dumb games anyway, Matt. We're playing these stupid games anyway. So why don't we actually make it more something?
I don't hate moving some of the bowls to the home site for that first round, but I don't want all the bowls to go away because I still think there's some added benefit for some of these teams that go, I don't know, 8-4 and they miss out to go to a bowl. And I mean, yes, like think of BYU's bowl game in Shreveport. That was lame. There wasn't anything cool.
Terrible.
They didn't get any cool swag. They didn't get paid. But like, you can't tell me that going to the Hawaii Bowl sucks. Like, that's cool to go to Hawaii for a week and to participate in some of those activities. And a lot of those kids may never go to Hawaii, you know, in their young period of life. So
make it part of that. Make it part of that. Make it part of its own little mini NIT. Then they can have those bowls and they mean a little bit something more because then you go to the next round.
I'm not opposed to that. I'm just saying I don't want to completely eliminate bowls to the point where if you go 9-3, you get no reward.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not about no reward, but it is. But what I mean, on a day where New Mexico was granted a waiver as a 5-6 team, that they could get into a bowl game for the first time in 61 years. How good does it feel to go to a bowl game for the first time in 61 years, but you're a 5-6 team? Like that, 5-6 teams, even 500 teams, should be gonzo. Those teams should not. There are teams who are going to be 5-7, and again, like I said, New Mexico State is likely going to be a 5-6 team. Those are the ones we're negotiating to get into bowls now. Those need to go away. Programs do not need to be rewarded for garbage.
There's too many bowl games.
Yes.
If you trimmed it down to 25, then there's some 6-6 teams not getting in, but you're still rewarding an 8-4 team that had a good year.
7-5 is like maybe we're fine. At least it's a winning season. At least it's like a it's not a 500 year. It is a winning season. That is the very, very baseline. When we started letting 5-7 teams in on waivers, we got to some weird level there. Then we had to look inward and say, we've broken the system. It cannot go any further.
You're right.
Matt Biamonte, you can hear him on Cougar Sports Saturday. You can also hear him, or you can also see him at KSLSports.com. He and Mitch Harper do such a fantastic job on Cougar Sports Saturday, walking that thing through. Hey, we didn't even get to this part, though. Very quickly, though, Matt, BYU, now that they're going to the Big 12, does it actually make it where it's like, oh, shoot, the Big 12, you have to go to the Big 12, but now it might be a longer road for them, ironically, for them to get back to or to get into a college football playoff, considering how difficult the schedule is going to be for them going forward.
It's going to be a tough road in the Big 12 because the schedule is going to get more difficult. But I think BYU, as we saw this year, they just have to find the right recipe in terms of recruiting and coaching, because this year was a year in which I thought BYU could have won 10 games. There was enough talent. And there was a lot of things that went wrong. There were some injuries. You could point to coaching. But they have got to iron those things out, and I think that's what's happening right now with Kalani Sitake, is identifying which of these coaches are going to help us get to a possible Big 12 championship, and where else can we upgrade? Where can we improve? Because everything at BYU has to be upgraded if you want to compete in the Big 12. And I know that BYU does. They don't want to just be a cellar dweller in a power conference. They want to win that thing. And if they're going to do that, though, they got to upgrade across the board. So that's recruiting. And look, they're given some advantages. NIL is going to help BYU. Selling the Big 12 to kids is going to help BYU, because now they're playing at a higher level. But along with all of those things, they have to upgrade facilities even. I think they need to upgrade analysts, support staff. All of those things need to be upgraded, and I think that's kind of what they're going through right now is where can we upgrade? Defensive coordinator, you saw that Elisa Tuiaki, he wants to pursue a new challenge, and I think that was a mutually beneficial decision for both BYU football and for Coach Tuiaki, and that may continue with a few more guys. But they are, now that this 2022 season is over, Alex, they are in full-blown upgrade mode, and that's something they absolutely have to do.
What's the problem with the Big 12? What's their big tease issue here where they're going, yeah, you might get the conference schedule here soon. Oh, we might get the conference. Today we heard we might get it, and it's probably not happening. Crickets from the Big 12, what's taking so long, and why did they even tell us in the first place we were going to get it, at some point during this fall? Just tell us we'll get it in 2023.
I think, honestly, the complication is Texas and Oklahoma, as they have been in the Big 12, figuring out exactly who's going to play them at home, who's going to play them away. I imagine there's still a little bit of shuffling going on with Texas and Oklahoma and figuring out that piece, because it is a little awkward that new teams are coming in and old teams are staying for a couple years and then they're leaving. So I do think that complexity has probably been a bit harder than they thought, because I think a lot of us were like, well, you're going to play whoever we want. Well, you want Texas and Oklahoma to be there for those first couple of years. You don't want them to just get, buy out and leave. So yeah. I would imagine that's playing a role.
Yeah, but if you can make it a little bit annoying for them somehow over this next little bit, over these couple of years they're going to be in the conference, then you kind of want that too. Matt Biamonte, thanks for hanging out with me, Matt. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend of sports as we get into our Thursday and Friday here. Thanks for hanging out, man.
Anytime, Alex. Have a good one, man.
There you go. There's Matt Biamonte. My old buddy. It's 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.